forever. Amen. Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you here once again and to have the opportunity to share the good news with you, especially on a day when a woman has a central role in fulfilling God's plan. When Carol asked me to preach, she told me this is a different service where we have only two readings and a slightly longer time for the sermon. Lucky you. The gospel, of course, is non-negotiable, so it was between this first reading from 1 Samuel or the continuation of our lessons from the letter to the Hebrews. When I saw, though, that Hannah was the central figure in the first reading, it was an easy choice for me. I didn't know what I was going to say, and I didn't immediately recognize or remember this story or its significance, but I just sensed that this was where we needed to go, or at least where I wanted to go, and so I chose this one. So let's situate ourselves in 1 Samuel for a moment. Actually, this is a pivotal story. Samuel, of course, is a key figure, and 1 and 2 Samuel are really important books in the overall history of Israel, and more specifically, in the establishment of the Davidic monarchy. So let's be mindful of that as we proceed this morning. Actually, this realization as I was preparing caused me to get a bit more involved in the overall story than I was expecting. So I'll do my best to tell the story as efficiently and comprehensively as I can. And if you get confused or have any questions along the way, please feel free to let me know. And I'll do my best to get us all on the same page. Part of the reason that we have to dig a little to figure out what's going on is because our lectionary redactors, in their infinite wisdom, as we like to say, have left out the first three verses and have started with verse 4. Of course, the first three verses only introduce the characters and set the scene. So in other words, they're not really important at all. In the first three verses, we learn that there was a certain man of Ramathaim whose name was Elkanah, and that Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Elkanah used to go up to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts every year. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the temple priests. So just a few minor details. Because we do have Eli in the temple this morning as the one who observes Hannah, right? And this should trigger some memories for us. For instance, the memorable story that occurs a few chapters later where Samuel is in the temple with Eli and Samuel is lying down and hears God's voice calling to him. And remember, he thinks it's Eli who's calling to him, and so he goes to Eli and says, but Eli says it's not me, and tells Samuel to go back and listen again. And so Samuel does this, and the Lord calls to him again, and Samuel says, I'm listening. And then the Lord speaks to Samuel about how upset he is with Eli and his sons. And then Eli later then forces Samuel to tell him what the Lord has said to him. And Samuel then has to tell Eli that the Lord is displeased and is going to overthrow him and his descendants. And then you will recall it is Samuel who ultimately goes to the house of Jesse to find and choose the new king from among Jesse's sons. And it isn't until David is finally brought in from tending the sheep in the fields that God again discloses to Samuel that David is the one and Samuel anoints him. So now we see that this whole trajectory, this pivotal story in Israel's history, is all set in motion this morning by a distressed woman's prayer. So let's look at that. First, Hannah gets up faithfully and goes to present herself to the Lord. it says that she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Note that it says that Elkanah loved her dearly, but that in fact it was her rival, Peninnah, who provoked her severely and irritated her. Then she makes her vow, which she will keep, that if the Lord grants her a son, she will offer him as a Nazarite for all time. In other words, her prayer for a son is so that she can offer him to the Lord. Eli then observes her mouth, that her lips are moving, but he cannot hear her. So he presumes that she is drunk. And he says to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." And I love this response from Hannah. "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Wow. And I have to pause here as we let those words from Hannah sink in, and I'll share a story from early on in my campus ministry where we were doing Bible study, and one of our students, Rosie, identified a similar passage at the end of Luke where the women discover the empty tomb. And two men in dazzling clothes tell them that Jesus has been raised. And they go back, and they tell the 11. But it says, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And I'll never forget Rosie's remark, "Ah, yes, because it was the women, the men presumed it was an idle tale." A drunken spectacle, an idle tale. This morning I have to give thanks to you women, all of you, who have persevered through our dismissive nonsense, not only to participate, but in many cases inaugurate and change the course of history. For as we see this morning, it is through your prayers, pleadings, petitions, intercessions, and witness, and, let's be honest, your act of giving birth, that these stories can be told, and that God's salvific plan for humanity has been enacted and has come into the world. So yes, getting back to Hannah, what do we have? Deep distress, bitter weeping, misery, a vow to the Lord, a woman deeply troubled, pouring out her soul, praying, as she says, out of her great vexation and anxiety. It's all there. We just need eyes and ears. We just need to stop and focus and let our hearts and minds absorb for a moment the enormity of what is transpiring in order to grasp it. And in that moment, Eli, fortunately, is also able to recognize what is happening. And he answers her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she says, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." And note, this is when her countenance changes. For it says she was sad no longer. In other words, it was the act of being able to pour out her soul to the Lord that brought her peace, not the answering of her prayer. And I think that is significant as well. Yes, Hannah goes home and conceives and bears a son, but her countenance changes. The healing occurs as a result of her deep lament and her being heard before her prayer is ultimately answered. And let's not overlook one final piece of this. It says they went back to their house and Elkanah knew his wife Hannah. And I think we all know what that means. But look at it closely. It says, and the Lord remembered her. Part of Hannah's prayer above is also that the Lord remember her. If only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant. So yes, this prayer, this deep lament of Hannah's is so powerful, it causes the Lord to remember her, and it changes the entire trajectory of the history of Israel, from Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who we learn a little later are making a mockery of the sacred oaths, duties, and positions accorded and bestowed upon them by acting in all manner of perverse and evil ways, to Samuel, who becomes the messenger to Eli of the change that is coming and is the one who finds and chooses David, thus inaugurating the royal lineage and establishing the covenant from and through which Christ will eventually come. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's some pretty amazing stuff going on. So how does all this relate to the gospel and those large stones that are so impressive, but which Jesus tells them are going to be thrown down? Where, as I like to ask, is the good news in all of this? I think it's just this. God is not impressed with the grandeur. God is not aligned with the wealthy or the powerful. Remember the offering of the poor widow from last week. Rather, God pitches God's tent with the lowly and hears, remembers, and answers the cries of the despondent. Jesus' admonition in this passage, beware that no one leads you astray. When our prayer is finally answered, when we are remembered by the Lord, let us not only fulfill the vows that we have made, as Hannah did, but let us return to the Lord to offer thanks. It's not in the readings for today. Actually, it is, but we didn't read it. But Hannah's song, which begins chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, does just that. It's a precursor, no doubt, to Mary's Magnificat, which also turns conventional wisdom on its head and speaks powerfully to the notion that the lowly will be lifted up. So let's listen to what Hannah has to say in response to her prayer being answered, mindful that her tormentor, Peninnah, is here, because Hannah has a few things, apparently, to say to her as well in this song. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. Almighty God, may we in our own day pray as Hannah did, beseeching you to hear us and remember us as we pray for our own needs and the needs of others. May we be nourished at your table and remember always to give you thanks in all things through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.